go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that was anticlimactic. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the House Armageddon, live on the air this evening. Myself, Armageddon Ed, and Jersey Horror Scenes, Rude Ron. What's up, brother?
What's up, my friend? Privyet. Prasivaya. Hello there, audiencia.
All right. As you can see, we're here. Tonight we'll be called in by Brian Enright, director of Cuddles, and another one of our Horror Scene Radio family. He'll be calling in. Plus, we're going to have Jay Kerner, my partner in crime from Walking Dead Films, and who else knows what other fucking madness we'll get into this evening. But we're going to start off with Rude Ron, because Rude Ron has so much to talk about. He's done so much preparation for tonight's show. I'm absolutely fucking giddy to hear what it is he wants to talk about. Start us off, Ron.
Well, gentlemen, ladies, ghouls, ghosts, Antichrist believers and non-Antichrist believers, and those who think they are the Antichrist or believe they are the Antichrist, I actually got to start off right out the bat with top-of-the-line news, the ultimate cult following of the Big Trouble in Little China remake.
You know, when you posted to my Facebook just a couple days ago and you said that they were going to make a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China, I'm not going to lie, bro, I got a massive Woody. But today I'm finding out
me
it's
too.
Not a sequel. It's a remake.
That's what was disturbing to me after I reread about three different articles that came out about it, because when they first produced the flash about it, they want you to think that it's a sequel, but it's not. It's a remake with The Rock now starring as Kurt Russell.
Listen,
and
bro,
I don't
you.
Know if I can. I don't know if I can really go for that, man. I don't
like
know. I don't know if I'm the only one, or.
No. I like The Rock. I love them in The Rundown. I enjoyed him in those Fast and Furious movies. He's a big kick-ass dude, and I really enjoy that. I like it. I think he's great. Problem, he's not Jack Burton. Jack Burton is like this lovable loser. He's like this white trash hillbilly type guy who like rides around in his truck. You don't actually see him as the guy who's going to kick people's ass. So you're kind of surprised when he does. The Rock just looks way too capable, way too able to kick someone's ass. I don't think that he could be that sympathetic hero, anti-hero that Jack Burton was.
I concur, because he already has that superhero persona instead of just having this underdog persona that you end up trying to root for throughout the movie.
I agree,
and
I
also,
think he looks horrible with a mullet.
I don't think he's actually good. They're going to do the mullet. I'm actually a little scared to see the butchery that's about to come upon this debacle.
Yeah, I don't want it to be bad. I want it to be great. You know, Big Trouble in Little China is such a fond piece of my childhood, because it was like one of those movies that was kind of like you saw it, but nobody else was in on the joke, because not everybody saw the film. It wasn't like Die Hard or the Friday the 13th films or all these films that every other kid in school saw. If you saw Big Trouble in Little China, you were kind of like the man.
Yeah, you know, it was like that with Army of Darkness, you know,
when that came out,
it was like the cult,
the Evil Deads, the first two Evil
Deads. Yes, exactly.
It wasn't until like Army of Darkness came out, and really it wasn't even until Army of Darkness came out and was actually on like VHS, and everybody got it at the video store, all of a sudden, you know, Ash was cool, everything, you know, Bruce Campbell was cool. If you were
in early
on the Evil Dead thing, well, then you were a lot fucking cooler.
Exactly, and that's what Big Trouble in Little China was, but now, like I said, I don't know. Who's going to play the villain?
I saw this little thing up on the internet. It was on Facebook. And caller, we're going to pick you up in just 1 minute, so hang in there. You know, they were talking about this one could play this part and this one could play that part. And, you know, they even said, like, Keira Knightley could play the main heroine character. And
I don't know
Chan
about
could
that
play
either.
This one. I don't know.
I already don't like what I'm hearing. It's just sad.
Again,
and is Carpenter
going to
direct
studio.
It? How about Carpenter in there? Can we throw that in there? The director of one of the greatest movies ever made and socially relevant movies ever made, They Live.
They Live is possibly one of the most socially relevant films ever made. There's no doubt about
ever
that.
Ever made.
You know what?
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Are only really starting to catch on to that now. They didn't
get it in
the 80s. The people didn't get it.
I know.
People are kind of get it now. You know, the whole surveillance state and, you know, the stratification of people with money as opposed to people without money. And
the haves
media,
and the have-nots, right?
Consumerism. Right. Like, all these things were in there that people talk about on a daily basis now. But people weren't talking about in the 80s when times were good and everybody was making money.
Most socially relevant movie of all time. And I don't think it will ever be replicated to that level. It would,
well, they actually were going to make a remake of it, and then that never came to fruition, which I actually
thank
think
God.
Is a good thing. But let's just time, we're going to pick up our caller. Caller, you're on the House Armageddon. Who we got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Brian.
The one, the only, Brian Enright. What's up, brother?
Not much. Just calling in. You guys have a pretty good topic lined up so far. I think the rest of the I think everyone else, I'm not just going to say horror industry agrees with you, but I think everyone else agrees with you guys that Big Trouble Little China with The Rock should not be made.
Yeah, I think it should be called A Lot of Trouble in Little China, because I'm just not feeling it, brother. So as you know Rude Ron, you know Brian.
Shalom, my fellow Kutz and Zeal brother.
Hey,
it's always a pleasure
on,
to have you guys on the phone.
Not so much, man.
Now, Brian, what's your take? Now, you got me and Rude Ron here. We've already put our two cents in. What do you think of – now, I have to say that I respect everything you say about film, because you're pretty spot on. You're a Charles Bronson guy. You know, you and I agree a lot on film, so I need to know your perspective on this.
My perspective is that Hollywood needs to just let things go. This is another prime example of what's going to be destroyed. It was my childhood movie, as much as everyone else's childhood movie, Big Trouble in Little China, and it's a movie that I want my children to watch when they get older. And I feel like the original Big Trouble in Little China is such a trademark in itself. It doesn't need to be remade. They already fucked up with RoboCop and like, what else did they do? They did Total Recall.
They butchered Nightmare on Elm Street. There's so many of the films from our childhood that they've just dragged out and pretty much fucking molested.
Yeah, because, you know, we'll buy it. We'll pay tickets to see it. Or if not us, you know, the millennials, because the millennials are fucking retarded.
I like the way you say that, brother. You're just about
Thank
a millennial
you.
Yourself. You're like a day older than a millennial.
Yeah, well, I'm educated.
so let's talk about remakes that they did well. I got to tell you guys might disagree with me on this, but I think this all kind of started back in the early 2000s with the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah,
I was one of the people bitching and pitching, saying there's no way this is going to be good, and I got to tell you, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, it was very good. In fact, it was written by James Gunn, and this was Brian Singer. No, he didn't do it. It was Zack Snyder. He directed it. It was their first collaboration together and Zack Snyder's first big budget. The movie turned out great because it kept everything. It just made zombies faster. It kept all your horror elements. It kept all your original actors from the first movie. Unlike the one where they're stuck in a mall and the zombies are cheesy, these zombies are running after you and everyone you know that you love is dead. So I thought that really played out well.
I did, and truthfully, I'd never found Sarah Polley attractive before, and for some reason I find her unbelievably attractive in that film.
Yeah, especially soaked in blood, right?
Yeah, there was something really hot about that, and I remember seeing her in Wish You Would Go and a bunch of other movies back in the 90s, early 2000s. I just really wasn't into her. I mean, you know what really hooked me about Dawn of the Dead is right in the beginning they didn't jump into anything as far as, you know, what was going – sorry about that. We have other phones here in the studio, so we'll just wait for that to die out. You know, they didn't start right out with, like, a zombie attack right in the beginning. They kind of show you, like, the whole, like, look, it's quiet in the beginning. There's not much going on. She works at a hospital. She's pissed off because she's stuck working overtime. You know, the other chick's trying to trade days off with her so she can spend time with her boyfriend, whatever. There's a little bit of backstory. Then you see this nice girl roller skating down the street. And then, like, 5 minutes later, after she bangs her old man, there's, like, a little girl in her living room trying to eat them.
Yeah.
They suck you in.
Nice
there was a build-up. There was a buildup, and then she drives out of her driveway, and all hell is broken loose. Her husband's trying to attack her. There's, like, fucking cars exploding. There's people driving into the mall parking lot. It was chaos. I think it was beautifully done. And then they do that great Johnny Cash song with the little clips of the White House getting attacked and everything. I just think it was really phenomenally done. What do you think, Ron?
Hello?
Oh, shit. We lost Ron. Hang on.
Oh, no.
But pick me up!
I got you, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Ron. Can you hear me?
I can hear. Can you hear me?
I didn't hear you. I heard you scream.
Okay, all right, good. No, I totally agree. I heard everything you said. I had to take care of that other phone call, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. We still have a business to run here. No, I totally agree with you. I just thought that she was even hotter, though, with the blood on. But for me, that remake was definitely one of the ones that you can say was actually acceptable. Just like I said, the original actors, the way they had it going, and better, just more money, more budget. And Zack Snyder is not that bad of a visionary when it comes to film. He's actually made some great movies.
Now he's great. Now, Brian, who was your favorite character in the Dawn of the Dead remake, though? Favorite character from the original and favorite character from the new one.
It has to go to black guys. It has to go to Ken Foree in the very first one. Something about him kung fu fighting zombies to get on the helipad made me
That's right.
And then it's going to go to Ving Rhames in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, because he was just an overall badass. And he never let go of his shotgun. He always had infinite ammo. It was and he had nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's true, especially when he already found out his brother and their family had died in that army center that he was trying to get to. He really had nothing to live for after that.
Yeah. But
I got to go with Tom Savini in that.
In the sequel, in the remake?
In the first one, man, when he was the fucking cop? Or the motorcycle rider? Excuse me, he was the motorcycle guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
not
great.
A bad choice. I would have to go with Ken Foree for the original, or the guy who played Roger. When he dies, when he gets bitten and he slowly turns while they're all living in the mall, there was something really cool about that. What was his name? Something Renninger was his name.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember seeing him in anything else other than another Tom Savini film for a little cameo role. But in the sequel, I don't remember the character's name, but who was the crazy security guy? With, like, the big mustache.
Oh,
he's like
guy,
a Philadelphia actor. His name is, like, Mike Kelly or something. That guy was great. That was my favorite character. Because he kind of brought a comedy element to the whole thing. I don't know. That's just me. I enjoyed that guy. Yeah, he was a total prick, but he was cool at the end. He was the guy you were cheering for. And then he gets eaten in the truck by them all. Sorry if I'm throwing out spoilers, folks, but the movie's, like, 12 years old now, you know. Go out and watch it.
Had the most kill count. He had the most kill count when he shot the propane tank and blew up the whole city of zombies.
That's true. And you know what? That movie did not suffer from, like, really bad digital effects. They were obviously there, but they weren't poorly done.
No. That's true, yeah.
And they weren't so over the top. Like, see, that's kind of my complaint with films at all these days. Everything is, like, so over the top. Like, really, I went to go watch Avengers Part 2 the other day, and it was, like, so fantasy and so over the top and these huge computer-drawn landscapes that I kind of get lost in the fact that – I mean, actually, I don't get lost in the fact. I stare at it and go, it's not real. You guys have any of that feeling?
I totally agree. I totally agree with that. I found that – but certain movies that like, it's okay to have them in, like the Star Trek, the new Star Trek movies, which I loved both of them, you know, that's acceptable to have the fantasy style because that's where it's going. But movies that are just being now pushed over the top with it, like the Avengers, like, unfortunately, the Green Lantern that I thought was not – I thought Ryan Reynolds was a good Hal Jackson. But the movie was just over fantasy, over the top. They ruined the character, and it just ruined it. I mean, I really don't know how much, what other way to put it.
I enjoy Ryan Reynolds, but I have to say that the reason the whole Green Lantern movie suffered was because it just looked ridiculous. The digital effects, the whole big flying arm thing and him flying to the other planets. And I get it. It's fantasy. It's comic book. You're not supposed to look at it like everyday reality. But it was just too much for me. It was just too much.
Interesting. Interesting.
Brian has nothing to say about Green Lantern.
I never saw it. I avoided it at all costs. I don't know. I just wasn't a fan. I'm not a fan of people who are multiple superheroes in different universes within the past 10 years.
Yeah. Well, then it must totally kill you, the guy who plays Captain America in Avengers, because not only is he in another universe, he's in the same universe as two characters. He's in the Fantastic Four, and he's Captain America. How do you feel about that?
That Fantastic Four movie doesn't exist to me.
No, they were terrible.
They were just so bad, but they weren't as bad as the 1993 Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie.
Didn't you just post that on your Facebook today?
Oh, I totally did.
Yeah, you did. Something about the kids today are spoiled. Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome.
They don't know what a bad movie is until you have a predecessor that shows a much or even worse movie later on in the future. I mean, growing up watching Roger Corman's Fantastic Four or the 1990 Captain America where Red Skull turns into an Italian mob boss, those movies were great. You know, you're never going to get that back.
I actually liked that Captain America, actually. I actually thought I liked that movie. It was cool, man. Like, there weren't really a lot of special effects. Whoever that actor was, I can't remember his name, he could really throw that fucking shield.
Now, wait a second. Wasn't that what's the guy who made that movie? He made...
Brian Yunza?
No. Brian Yunza. Wasn't that the guy who made the Friday the 13th, Freddy vs. Jason? No, I think the guy who made that was the guy who made, like, the Kickboxer sequels.
Yeah. It is an Asian name, though. I forget what it is.
Right.
But,
something Payun? Something Albert Payun or Payun or something
Albert
like that?
Albert Payun, yeah.
Yeah. He made a lot of the canon films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's definitely a guy worth researching. Like, I read his Wikipedia one time, not that Wikipedia is, like, 100% factual, but I read it one time, and he was talking about how he would get money out of a studio to make one film, meanwhile he was really making, like, another film, and, like, pretty much splitting to make two different movies, if I read it right. But, like, some really crazy stuff. Like, the sequel to Cyborg actually wound up turning out, or the Masters of the Universe sequel actually wound up becoming Cyborg. I mean, it's definitely worth reading. Look into it sometimes. And, like, he would have similar sets and use them for, like, for two different movies at the same time. Just really crazy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is cool. It is cool.
Albert Payun is right. He's, like, half Yugoslavian. American Yugoslavian guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know that. I have to tell you, the Kickboxer series, the ones with Sasha Mitchell, you remember the guy from not just the 10 of us, Step by Step.
The wife beater.
Yeah, I heard he was a wife beater. I don't know if it's true or not, but I did hear that somewhere. Well, actually, you know they're making a sequel right now to the Kickboxer franchise with him in it.
Really?
Yeah. He's right.
Wait. We're taught you, first of all, the original Kickboxer was the shit.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It was the shit. And then now they put the sequel out that went straight to VHS because there was no DVDs then.
But it was fucking awesome, bro.
It was fucking
awesome. The Kickboxer sequels were way better than the original. All right, we got a caller on the line.
I don't think that's possible.
It is. Caller. You're on the House of the Dead. Who's calling this evening?
Baron Craze.
Baron!
Oh, hey!
Baron's on the
Hello,
line.
Hello, all.
Though. Baron's also a host of a show on the Horror Scene Radio Network. Baron hosts two shows, actually. Shredding Metal Beast, which comes on Tuesday night, and Friday night's Baron's Crypt. So, Baron, what's up, brother? You've been listening to our conversation. How would you like to chime in?
Well, yeah, I've been listening to it, hearing you guys talk about Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
Tell us some more, brother. How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, just to kind of give a little trivia information out there to those who don't know, the film had a bigger budget, around $50 million. It was only cut down to $28 million 3 days before filming was to start.
Wow.
That's because of Universal Studios. Universal launched the film Van Helsing in 2004, same year, and it didn't make its budget. So they did Van Helsing is a remake of Dracula, so they said, well, we're going to slash your budget. You have 3 days to figure it out. Good luck.
Wow.
So,
I'd be interested to know which film made more money, because I kind of think that Van Helsing was a stinker. I don't know how it did internationally, but I don't think it did very well here in the States, did it?
Well, here you go. Van Helsing's budget was $160 million. It made a total of $120
million. Ah.
Well, they lost $30 million on it.
Yes.
And Dawn of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead made its budget back in 3 days.
Wow. See, look at that. The power of the horror community, my friends.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of people don't know that little piece of trivia data there, and
I
throw it out there.
I like that.
All right. Well, which did you like better, Baron, the original Dawn or the new Dawn?
Both have their, you know, the points and their standings, but I don't know. I like the remake. It got my attention. It, you know, it had a slow lead up, and then once it got to that, you know, here's the dead coming back, then it was full on from there.
Yeah.
And for
I have to agree, and I think people are going to say I'm nuts, but I think I like the Dawn sequel better.
Yeah.
I mean, Dawn remake.
I know.
Dawn remake.
Yes, I just think it's just got something. It's a bit quicker, and especially since they're picking it up, you know, they're not, because, you know, when you look at the other one, we're starting to get the trilogy. We're starting to get this pattern of these films. So this one just kind of plops you right into the middle of it, so you can't really last too long. So you give a slow burn, and then you just ignite it.
Yeah, interesting take.
I
like that.
So now how do you feel about the potential remake of the John Carpenter classic, who a lot of people didn't really see, but like we all said, a part of our childhood, Big Trouble in Little China?
It's going to go the same way as the remake of Assault on Precinct 13. I didn't like the remake of that film, and I'm not going to like this one either.
I thought the remake of Assault on Precinct 13 started off really strong, but I think it fell apart somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it had some strength, and then it just started to disintegrate pretty quickly. The first one had, you know, a gutsy way of its filmmaking style and a more believable story. You had gangs that were going to retaliate in full force. Here you have police corruption.
And I think the big thing with Assault on Precinct 13, too. A spoiler for anyone who's ever seen it, but the movie is 40 years old. The little girl gets shot at the ice cream truck. It was horrible the first time I saw it. I was very young when I saw that movie. It'd stick with me to this day. They try to duplicate that in the remake with the woman getting shot, the real pretty blonde. What's her name? Maria Bello?
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same shock as that little girl getting killed at the ice cream truck.
You know that little girl was Paris Hilton's aunt, right?
Yeah. What is she? She became like, I forget what she became. Didn't she grow up to be really like a really pretty model?
Yeah, and she was like Beverly Hills Housewives or some bullshit.
Oh yeah, that's right. I never saw Beverly Hills Housewives, so I have to take your word on it. But I do remember.
Yeah,
wasn't
she
also in like Escape from Witch Mountain?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think she was like an Escape from
Witch Mountain. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, which is like a big part of my childhood also. But what were you going to say, Baron?
Well, no, I'm just going to say that, you know, when I heard about first you guys, I think it was on the one of your walls, you know, on Facebook about, you know, there's going to be a sequel. And I just noticed, wait a minute, it's been a long time, and now all of a sudden they're going to do a sequel? No way, red flag. I knew immediately it's going to be a remake, another reboot.
Kurt Russell hates doing sequels. You know, from what I heard, and once again, I have no inside information or know anything, but from what I've heard, the only sequel, obviously, he ever did was Escape from New York. He did Escape from L.A. But he's been offered sequels in, like, Tango and Cash, and he refused them. Sequels for Universal Soldier, like, a bunch of movies that he's been in that they try to turn into franchises that he'd never do it. So I found it very hard to believe that he would actually do a sequel 30-something years later, or 30 years later, for Big Trouble in Little China. Although I kind of had my hopes up, because I would love to see the Pork Chop Express roll again.
I find it odd that he has not been in any of the Expendables.
That's a good point.
Go ahead.
We were discussing this earlier. Ron kind of brought up a good point, too. He kind of thinks Kurt Russell's too old now to be an action star. But if I'm not mistaken, he made Poseidon about 5 years ago. So I'm going to defer this to Brian. Brian, what do you think? You think Kurt Russell can still be an action star?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think that I'm going to say he can, because have you guys ever played the game Metal Gear Solid? I know it's a far stretch from the horror industry, but the video game Metal Gear Solid was based on Kurt Russell. Anyway, long story short, in the fifth Metal Gear Solid.
I need to know more. It was based on Kurt Russell.
It was based on Escape from New York, the whole entire game, like the first Metal Gear Solid, but it took place in Alaska. Well, anyway, he comes back in Metal Gear Solid 5, and he's old. He's got the eye patch, or no, he doesn't have an eye patch, but he's old. He's got gray hair, gray beard, and he just looks badass. I think Kurt Russell could pull it off if they were to do Escape from a New York sequel. I think they were talking about doing Escape from Planet Earth or something like that.
But he's 67 years old.
Chuck Norris was like 67 when he was doing Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Chuck Norris, come on now.
What about Steven Seagal, Ron? Explain him.
Explain him how? He's doing, like, movies Into the Dark that come straight to DVD that no one ever heard of with a bad wig.
He should be in
one of the Expendables, and I'm not going to see any more Expendables movies until Steven Seagal is in it.
You heard about Steven Seagal not getting along with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, there was a party at Sylvester Stallone's house, and they were going to fight each other or some bullshit. And I think that, like, drew bad blood for the second movie, because Sly wanted Steven in there, and Steven found out that Jean-Claude was going to be in it.
Interesting. I heard that it was Steven Seagal had beef with the director of the Expendables movies. He doesn't get along with the director very well. It was some bad blood there.
He was going to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme at one point. Jean-Claude Van Damme was acting like an asshole back in, like, the mid-90s at Sylvester Stallone's house, and Steven Seagal was watching him through a window, like, being held back, or, like, after their argument or something.
Can you see this picture?
My money is on Steven Seagal, I'm sorry. My money's on Steven Seagal.
I have to agree. In a fist fight, even in their prime, so we'll say circa 1987, 1988, my money goes on Steven Seagal. Today,
well, he broke Sean Connery's wrist in that James Bond remake of Thunderball, whatever it was called.
It was called You Only Live Twice. I'm impressed that you actually know that it was a remake. Almost nobody knows that.
Wow.
Was it Only Live Twice, or was it Never Say Never Again?
Never Say Never Again. Did I say You Only Live Twice? Never Say Never Again. Good call, brother.
Both Sean Connery.
Yeah, but you're right. It was a remake of Thunderball, because if you notice, he's not referred to as 007 in that film. He's just James Bond.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ian Fleming owned 007.
Yeah. I think United Artists owned it, and they went ahead and they found some kind of loophole, so they just remade Thunderball. it was like a whole big thing about that, man. And like the lawyers came in. Oh, it was horrible. I think the only good thing about it is, if I'm not mistaken, had Kim Basinger in it.
Yeah, that's it. It was just bad, though. It was awful.
Yeah. And I remember they put her in like this frumpy orange like prison suit coming out of a mountain. You have young hot Kim Basinger. You don't cover her up in like an orange prison jumpsuit for friggin' 25 minutes of the film. What the hell were they thinking? fucking barbarians. You know when she needs the R in prison jumpsuit? When you're watching like 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Hey, Baron, yeah. Baron, what do you think? Do you think Steven Seagal would beat Jean-Claude, even in the heyday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, Steven Seagal.
Jean-Claude was kind of like a pretty boy half the time.
He was. Seagal was like in Out for Justice, like just cracking necks and breaking arms.
Yeah.
But you also have to look at the physicality of it, too. Steven Seagal really is like 6'2", 6'3", 200
he's
something.
He's 6'4".
Yeah, he's
Steven Seagal.
And I think, I don't know how big Van Damme is, but he's probably only like 5'9", 5'10". I'm not saying the big guy always wins the fight, but if you have two guys that are close in skill level, which I think Steven Seagal is an even higher degree than Jean-Claude Van Damme, the size definitely makes a difference. You have an even two even match opponents, and then size, it's going to the guy with the size every time.
But remember, Seagal was an instructor in Japan before he came to America. So he studied there, and he was a teacher. Then he came here and started making movies.
Well, there's video of him tossing like 10 guys around or something like that when he was in Japan teaching Aikido.
That's right, before the movies. That's right. There's video of him like actually just smacking people the fuck around. That's true. It's out there.
Listen, bro, I'm just going to say the average 6'4" guy is going to throw 10 Japanese guys around. I'm not trying to be a dick, but let's be quite truthful. You know, the average size, the average guy in Japan is probably, I don't know, 5'7", 5'8". And I know, I don't want to get an angry call from a 6'9" Japanese guy, because they are tall Japanese guys. But for the most part, you know, he was probably like a fucking big lumberjack up in that place.
I gotta say something to Baron real quick. Baron, thank you so much for playing Who's Gonna Cuddle Me When I'm Dead during your show. I really appreciate it, and I'll let everyone know that there is talks between me and a very famous cinematographer that you guys all know and love in our circle. We're going to be making the music video. We're in pre-production right now for it, and we're going to actually start filming the music video, so we're going to need extras and everything probably during the wintertime of 2016.
Oh, very nice, brother.
Okay, count me in.
It's gonna be your hair metal music video. We might even rent a snake or something like that, or something. Yeah, and you know, it's gonna be really cool. We're gonna have like women dancing around, and it's total 80s hair metal, you know,
okay,
without White Snake.
Nice. Now, are you gonna have Cuddles actually doing the lead guitar in it?
We're gonna have Cuddles doing a lot of stuff, but we're really gonna focus on the on the band as well, the mock 80s hair band that we're making right now. And
okay,
we're actually in talks of doing shows and making more music. And I know that you and I expressed interest in Snake City writing a song for 100 Acres of Hell, which me
that
and Mike Marino are currently.
Yeah,
what's up?
I said that is accurate. I saw that you put that up, bro. That would be much appreciated.
Yeah, we're in talks right now. We're gonna see how it sounds, and you know, we'll drop you a sample. Hopefully, you know, before the summer's over.
Awesome, brother. Looking forward to it.
If you need
some security guys, some big bellied mullet wearing security guys, believe it or not, the security guys on the Jersey Shore have not changed since the '80s. They still look like that. So I can get all you'd like.
Well, do they have Steven Seagal ponytails? Because that's what we need.
Yes. But only if you buy a thing of that, I don't know, that anal lube that you put in your hair that slicks it back like that before you ponytail it. Because remember, this is the Jersey Shore, bro.
Because we're above the law, right? Above the law.
We're above the law.
Above the law
Speaking
of the Jersey
that,
Shore.
That movie is like the best Steven Seagal movie besides Under Siege 2. I did like Under Siege, the first one, but I thought Under Siege 2 was way more superior.
Under Siege 2 was, I don't know, probably 3 Scarlett Johansson titties, as Ron would like to say, better than the original Under Siege.
Um, I don't know. I disagree. I think the original was better.
Really?
I think Tommy Lee Jones was a great psycho. I love how it came out that he was his commanding officer in the end, and he shoved his fucking eye, thumb to his eye, and stabbed him in the head. I thought that was way better. I just thought that was... I think Out for Justice is the best fucking Seagal film, bro. That and then March for Death with the two twins, and he's chopping the heads off with the samurai sword in the end.
I'm
that
not
shit
gonna
was
lie. Out with the one with the voodoo and shit. That one got me. No, I think it was the Glimmer Man, bro.
No, bro. It was March for Death with the Jamaicans.
I hope they weren't triplets.
Yeah, I hope they weren't triplets.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He did say that. Yeah.
I hope they weren't triplets.
That's right.
Totally
he did
about
say
that.
That. That's right. Oh, my God.
I love when people listen to the show and text me, Chaz, brother, what's going on? A shout-out to my man Chaz right now for texting me about the anal lube ponytail.
Going for the Tony Lewis look from back in the day.
Oh, my God. Well, it is Tony. Truth, if you're out there anywhere in Truth Land, you got to give us a call. We'd love to know what you're up to.
I texted him. He hasn't texted me back, so we'll see what happens.
He thinks you're a dick.
What do you think? Baron, what do you think? Best Steven Seagal flick?
That's going to be a little hard. I like the one with, like you were talking about with the two brothers.
March
for
Death.
A little voodoo there. Yeah. I like that one, but I did like Under Siege with Tommy Lee. I like that one. Because Tommy Lee is like the... Because he says a line in there, he's like he's the roadrunner, he never gets caught. You know, he does a little beep beep kind of thing. I don't know, he's just nuts. Just
yeah.
Completely
yeah.
nutty in that entire role.
Yeah.
See, I enjoyed I don't remember, was it Above the Law? No, which was the one where he's like a detective like in Brooklyn? And like,
Out for Justice.
That is Out for Justice. All right, that's my favorite one. And that's only because he's running around the whole movie, like doing shit you can totally not get away with as a cop, even back in
the
80s.
That's true. Yeah.
Imagine like in the YouTube world today, you're just walking around and you're like, hey, you look like a scumbag. I think I'll crack your fucking skull on the corner. And then I'll challenge you to a fucking fight with a tire iron in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Come on.
That movie had the best opener because he like, he beats up the pimp and throws him, and then, like, Beastie Boys,
No Sleep Till Brooklyn comes flying on. And he's like, wait. And, dude, there's, like, no respect for, like, any kind of, like, road etiquette or anything. He's running over fire hydrants. There's, like, little people running with carriages away from him down the street.
That's right.
Like, you just can't get away with shit like that today.
No,
can't.
And William Forsythe as the villain, bro. William Forsythe was the man in that movie. He should have been in the Sopranos. I don't know why he was never in any character in The Sopranos, which is why I hate The Sopranos. But William Forsythe was the fucking man in that movie, bro. He walked up to that dude in the beginning and shot him right in the fucking street. Oh, he was the man. And he's smoking the crack. Remember? He pulled a car over. I need a hit.
The best is like when he goes to his mother's house. His name was Jimmy, right? And he's like, you know I'm going to have to
Richie,
kill you,
Richie,
right?
Richie.
You know I'm going to have to kill Richie. If you don't turn himself in, I'm going to have to kill Richie. No, don't kill Richie. I'm going to have to kill Richie. Come on now.
He's saying this to the dude's mother's house.
Yeah, this shit's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, that movie was great, bro.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, when you start talking about these 90 kick-ass films, you know another one?
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right, Eddie. Say it. I know what you're about to say. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, what am I going to say? Because I don't think
When you talk about them now, you realize how fucking great they are.
But when you
see them then, you're like, eh. And you look back now and you think of that bar scene when he went in there and he fucking took the cue ball and whacked everybody in the fucking face with it.
He walks in and he goes, so I see all this boxing stuff behind the bar. Who's the boxer? And like some like 15-year-old bald guy steps up. Right? He's like, I'm the boxer. So for like no reason, he pretty much punches the shit out of this old fucking bartender. And then
he does.
Proceeds to kick the shit out of every guy in the bar. Like, I'm not impressed when you beat up the guy who's a boxer. Like, the guy could have boxed like fucking Mickey 50 years ago before Rocky and shit. And that's the guy whose ass he beats. I'm just not impressed.
Now, the best Steven Seagal action scene in any movie has to go to above the wall when he's like when he's being interrogated, and there's like five guys around him, and he breaks out of the chains or whatever he's held it, and he just breaks everyone's like neck, and then he just breaks his arm, and then like breaks his back, just murders everybody in like 3 seconds. It's like the best scene.
I remember that. He did. He was tied up with the wire ties and just snaps out of it and just cracks everybody's neck.
Hey, while we're on the whole subject of great 90s movies, because I have something to parlay this into. One, I want to talk about, I don't think that Patrick Swayze ever got his due as a badass. I think he was every bit as badass as Seagal or any of these guys. Next to Kin, Point Break, which brings me my next point. They're remaking Point Break. Why?
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Trailer sucked.
Ugh.
Oh, Baron, please tell us, please. It sucked, didn't it?
Which one?
The trailer. It's going to be terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. God.
It stars Edgar Ramirez.
Who?
He was the guy that was in that movie that they made in New York about the cop, Deliver Us From Evil. He played the priest. Well, he's Bodhi in this one. Dude, I don't buy it, not in any way, shape, or form. And they're not surfers anymore. They're like extreme athletes. They're like X Games guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The only thing that was cool about the trailer was there was some kind of, like, government. You saw, like, all these guys talking, like, on some kind of Senate or congressional panel or something. And the guy who talks during the thing is James LaGrosse from the original film. But other than that, I saw nothing in the trailer that interested me in any way, shape, or form. Nothing.
Oh, no. Dude.
Come on, Brian. I know you got something to say about it. Brian?
We lost Brian Enright, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what's going on? I'm sorry. What was the question?
You fucking matzo ball.
Ask him what you were doing.
The Point Blank trailer, right? Is that what,
yes.
You want to hear my opinion about it? Is
yes.
That what it was?
I want to totally know
your
opinion.
I had to watch the 1991 Point Break trailer like at least 5 times over to get that bad taste out of my mouth of what I just saw.
It's so true. It's true.
It is.
I found myself watching the Point Break trailer after I watched the new one because it looks like such shit. They're riding like dirt bikes with like parachutes and throwing money out over some fucking Somalian village or something. What the fuck is going on there?
The ghost, dear God.
The ghost of Patrick Swayze is going to give everyone pancreatic cancer.
I hope they fucking do. I hope whoever thought this was a good idea, I hope the golden calf worshippers that fucking produced this thing and whoever wrote the script, I hope their pancreatic cancer is so fucking bad that they shit out of their mouth. That's how bad I hope they suffer in pain that they can't even take a shit out of their ass. It's got to come out of their mouth. How dare you destroy this? And you know what? Who's going to play the Katy Perry part? Who's going to play the young Keanu Reeves? Tyler, I love you. You know, where's that going to be? You know where it's going to be? It's going to be nowhere. This movie is going to be terrible. It's terrible already. Terrible already.
Come on, Ron. Tell us how you really feel.
You heard it here first.
So, all right. So I think we're all pretty much in agreement. Now, Baron said it's going to be terrible, but I think Baron alluded to the fact that I don't think he was a fan of the original.
No. I like there was parts of the original I did like. You know, first of all, the insanity of Gary Busey's character. I mean, come on.
That's right.
I mean, who are you going to get to play him? Now, see, that's the question.
I forget. I looked into it, and it was somebody that, like, I just passed over it the second they said who it was going to be. I was, like, totally not impressed.
What is that guy? He was in Indiana Jones' Crystal Skull, unfortunately. I saw that movie. But he's in that movie.
When I Need to Sleep, that's the movie I put in.
Jack Nicholson's right-hand man, The Departed. Ray Winston. Is that who it is?
Yeah, and that's a shame because I like him in other things.
Yeah, he plays Gary Busey's character.
Yeah, I like him in other things. I think the movie was just such shit that I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
What a damn shame. But I do have to say, when Gary Busey is on a stakeout and all he cares about is Johnny Utah going to get him two meatball sandwiches and a fucking lemonade. And that's all he could think of. And then he's so worried about the two meatball sandwiches and lemon, he doesn't even see the four guys run in and rob the bank. They're, like, pretty much already escaping before Gary Busey even realizes they robbed the place. It's true. It's true. Like, Keanu Reeves comes back, and he's already like, hey, so whose car is that? And he's like, oh, I don't know. What the fuck was Gary Busey doing the whole time? They're on a stakeout.
Yeah.
Stuffing his face with food.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he actually looks downright pissed that he doesn't get a chance to eat the meatball sandwich because they got to go chase him. And by the way, that chase scene between Keanu Reeves and when they run through, like, every shitty neighborhood in California, through, like, every back alley, and he pretty much, like, punts a dog at him. I mean, that's one of the greatest chase scenes of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I disagree. I wouldn't say it's the
really?
Greatest chase scene.
One
yep.
of.
There's a chase scene that happens in Live and Die or Live and Let Die in L.A.
Die in L.A.
Where they do the chase scene goes up and you're going basically the long way on a 5-lane highway. I mean, you know, that's serious stunt work there. I'd like that one.
I have to admit, that's a great chase scene also. And if I'm not mistaken, that movie was made by William Friedkin, the same guy who made The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Am I correct? Cool.
Yep.
See, wow.
I mean, in that scene, you got the two guys. The guy in the back is losing it completely, and the other one's just trying to figure out. We're just trying to figure out how to get away, and I'm going to go, you know, against the traffic flow. So, like I said, I think that's the best chase scene. So.
Yeah, for anybody who hasn't seen that movie, and it's weird too because it's a movie on a subject they don't touch upon much. The whole movie is about like counterfeiting.
Yeah.
And it gets really into, like, the nuts and bolts of, like, the underground counterfeiting scene of the 1980s. It's a very strange film. Some of it's, like, really
great. Movie,
some of it you're watching, you don't quite get.
Yeah, that movie got a lot of shit because they killed the hero at the end, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
William Peterson. They were going to keep him alive, but then they decided to go with the actual ending where he gets blasted in the face with a shotgun.
Wow.
So they end up getting a lot of shit for that movie. One of the topics I was discussing earlier on Facebook, I got into it like a Facebook conversation, was it's another William Peterson movie. It was the movie Manhunter versus Red Dragon. I don't know what you guys feel or what movie you thought was better.
Tell us who you want first, brother.
Huh?
Tell us who you want to discuss it first.
Oh, man. Well, I want to discuss Manhunter. What do you guys, how did you guys feel about that movie?
I'm leaving it to Baron. Baron, hit me with it, brother.
Now, when you say Manhunter, we're talking about the one from the 1986?
The Michael Mann movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Tom Noonan.
Yeah, I like that one. That, I don't know, there's something about it. I mean, especially you got the one scene, I have to admit to it, you got the song Ingata De Vita's playing in the background as he's blasting the hell out of people with the shotgun. I just like that movie. Everything about it's really great. Of course, there's the one goof in the movie, but when they put it in letterbox form, it took away the goof, so you don't have to worry about it. The goof, just for anybody out there, is when the overhead boom mic drops down into the scene. So if you didn't have it in letterbox form, you would see the boom mic falls into the scene, and it kind of ruins the tension moment of him discovering who the killer is.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Red Dragon?
That movie sucked.
I think you guys can tell. I'm pausing on and going, didn't like it. So to me, Manhunter and then... Songs of the Lambs, those are the two out of that entire franchise, if you would, that I liked. Those two films were good.
I didn't care for Hannibal. I didn't care for the one when he was like, you saw the backstory of Hannibal. I didn't care for that. Manhunter and Red Dragon, I think Manhunter was a better film, but Red Dragon, I don't know, I'm kind of torn. I think, who is the guy, Ralph Fiennes, who played the Red Dragon? Help me out.
Yeah, it shows how much we fucking care about that movie. It fucking stunk. Even with Ed Norton. Ed Norton wasn't bad, but the movie was fucking terrible. It didn't. I wouldn't even give it.
Whoever the guy who played Red Dragon, though, I thought was better in Red Dragon than Manhunter. That's the way I
thought. I don't know. I thought Tom Noonan, like the part where he's the whole entire movie, he's just there's no emotion, and then when he finally like starts falling for the girl, I mean, he just kind of falls out of the movie, and it's more of watching him in a third person, or he's kind of like the audience now. He's not really involved as being a killer, but then all that snaps is when a coworker of hers is taking her home, and then he starts going on this killing spree, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to kill this bitch. And then it leads up to the Legado de Vida scene where what Baron was talking about with the final shootout, which was fucking awesome.
That was better in Manhunter, because if I'm not mistaken, and once again, I don't want to ruin the spoiler, the wife shoots him in Red Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, am I right?
Good letdown.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of like a cheesy. I know they were trying to change it up a little bit, but I didn't quite get that.
It sucked.
Yeah.
And Brian Cox was a good Hannibal Lecter back in the day. He's a great actor.
You know, I have to agree. I'd actually forgotten that Brian Cox played that part.
Yes, he did.
But you know what the funny thing is? I don't remember the black guy's name, but he was in all four of the original films.
Barney?
Yeah, the guy who played the orderly was the orderly in all four of the original films.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Manhunter, Red Dragon, Hannibal, and Silence of the Lambs. But if you really have to put all the movies together, Silence of the Lambs was the best of the whole franchise.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It puts the lotion on its skin. I mean, that's just some of it. When he does the whole mangina thing, oh, it'd fuck me. I mean,
yeah.
Come on. That dude was so creepy and so awesome and just so much better than all the rest. I'm sorry, I think that guy was better than Hannibal Lecter. For me, he was more enjoyable to watch. He was. And then, like, the senator's daughter is, like, in the pit. He's dropping lotion down to her. I mean, come on, man. The visuals of that are just absolutely stunning.
Well, yeah, she's chubby. She needs lotion so her skin's looser so he can
And then when she gets his dog, she's like, I'll kill your fucking dog. He's like, no. And that's just awesome. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
Silence of the Lambs was great.
Yeah, but what's also awesome about that, here's a guy who has absolutely no care or anything for life, but he's so worried about his friggin' dog. But meanwhile, he's torturing a woman in like a 20-foot pit in his living room. It's just insane.
Ted Levine, y'all. Ted Levine.
Is that the name of the actor? He was good.
That's the name of the actor, Ted Levine. I had to look it up. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Ted Levine.
I mean, does he have a penis or?
I guess so.
Okay. I've never mangina'd. I don't think I could mangina.
Did Jonathan Demme ever do anything else after that movie?
Yeah, he directed the Kenny Chesney concert on the beach in Wildwood a couple years later. He really did. He really did.
Did he fucking really? Oh, my God.
Really did.
Talk about a fall from grace.
Yeah, I don't know. He wanted to do it. It was like he got paid like buku bucks, I think, from like Google to do it. Because I think they showed it live. Google or YouTube, I forget which are one and the same now. But, yeah, I think they pretty much paid him to like stream that concert live. And I don't know. I could be mistaken.
He did do Philadelphia. I did not know that.
I just looked
it up. I did not know that. He did do Philadelphia.
Oh,
and
I got
to best picture.
I got to say something. If they were, since we're talking about remakes and transgender, would you think that Caitlyn Jenner would be a perfect Buffalo Bill in that remake?
I was really trying to stay away from the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing tonight.
Yeah, I can't lie.
I have no source material. I care so little about that whole Kardashian clan. They are the most fucked up people. I mean, if that show is even one-tenth of a percent true, then they're just people I want nothing to do with. I don't want to be around. I don't want to talk to them. I have no problem with the guy, whether he wants to have a penis, doesn't want to have a penis, likes girls, doesn't like girls, wants to be a lesbian, wants to dress as a girl, whatever. More the power to him. I got no problem with any of it. But they're just fucked up. Am I the only one that feels this way? I need to know.
Barron,
no,
you first.
Not.
Okay. Barron, no.
I don't fucking care about them. I don't fucking care.
I don't care. To me, the whole thing was
look,
a farce,
wait.
Because it was the whole thing. Here's what's more important, is that while all that was going on, it was to distract you from what was going on in Congress at the time with U.S. trying to get rid of the NSA spying, and then they passed the U.S. Freedom Act, which also did not alleviate them from searching your profile histories and things like that and doing profiling on you. So they snuck that by you while everybody gave two shits about this guy who, by the way, was one of the most phenomenal athletes. Can we not forget that? Can I just remember him as a guy on the Wheaties box who, like, broke all these records at the Olympics and fucking was, like, a man's man and actually starred in a few episodes of Chips, by the way, if anybody remembers that. Does anybody remember that? Nobody remembers that. He was on a few episodes of Chips. So, like, how does this happen? I don't care. I could care less if they all fell off the fucking cliff and the car exploded halfway down. I could give two shits because it was just to distract us from what was really going on in our society.
Ron?
That's one of my conspiracy theories for the week.
Okay, Ron, it also distracted us from the other asshole that's out there called the Duggar family.
That's
you know
right.
How that kind of slipped
off the
pages there a little bit.
That's right. They got that right off of there with that, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with that. I heard that guy was like taking time with like congressmen and senators and political figures and now there's allegations that he's a pee-pee toucher or like a kid toucher or something. I don't know who he is, but
that's right. I forgot all about that. They shoved that right out there. That totally wiped everything that was going on in your face right off the fucking map within an instant. An instant it was off of there. Disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting. Right, hey, listen, they did it with the wedding. Remember the wedding? The whole big wedding. In the meantime, this guy from NASA is like landing a fucking satellite on a comet. Like, shouldn't we be celebrating that when we used to celebrate people that achieved fucking great acts of everything?
Hang on one second. We do have a caller on the line. We're going to pick you up in just a second, caller. But I do want to say one thing. We probably know more about that woman who was like a NASA chick who was never actually even in a shuttle mission, who like went and beat the shit out of some other, killed some other like NASA guy's wife. We know more about them than what actually NASA's been doing the past 5 years since they haven't been sending any shuttles up.
Wow, very interesting. Well said.
I just think that we're misguided in this country. We're so worried about, you know, what's up with.
What's up with this guy's penis and his fucking pants and shit?
Yeah. So, Brian, before I pick up this other caller, how do you feel about the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing? What do you think, brother?
And get it out now, because this is the last time we're going to be talking about it, so you might as well get it the fuck out, because I don't ever want to discuss this ever again. Ever.
Wait, you say Brian or Barron?
I fucking agree with you.
No, Brian.
Brian Enright, let's hear it, because you better do it now, because you're never getting another chance. So let's hear it.
You know what? I think I don't know. I think that they're happy with their decision, and I think the rest of the family is more fucked up than she is. I mean, like the rest of the family are complete shit, and like, you know, the only thing about like Caitlyn Jenner is that, you know, she seems like the only normal one out of all of them.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good point. As crazy as everyone's worried about the fact that Bruce Jenner, one of the greatest athletes who ever lived, now wants to be a woman, is more normal than the rest of that fucking family. Amen to you, Brian.
And we will never speak of it again.
And at this time, we're going to pick up our caller. Caller, you're on the line with House Armageddon. Who do we have this evening?
Jason Kerner, Walking Dead films. What's up, guys?
Oh.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
As promised, the real Jay Kerner, my partner in crime, the other half of Walking Dead films, one of the stars of Cuddles, a frequent caller to all of our shows, and friend, family, and lover to us all. What is up, my brother?
Not much, guys. I've been listening to you for a while. I listened to the old Jenner thing. I'm not going to get it, open up that can of worms. But, you know, I got to say, you know what? I grew up remembering the Wheaties with Bruce Jenner on the cover of Wheaties. You know, I'm a little bit older than all you guys, so I remember seeing him being the ultimate athlete. The guy was amazing. You know, he had some personal issues in his life, and I think, you know what? Everybody does. I agree. I think the whole family is a fucking mess. But you know what? Regardless if he wants to be a man or a woman, it took, no matter what he wants to be or what he's going to become, it took a lot of balls to do what he did and come out and say what he did. It's his preference. It doesn't affect my lifestyle. It doesn't affect my family or anything. So I got no problems with what he did. I think the rest of the family should take cue on, you know, him taking a stand finally, you know, and they need to grow the fuck up and get their heads out of each other's asses and just, you know, start living normal lives, because these people, they live on cloud fucking nine. But Bruce Jenner, he did what he did. You know what? More power to him. Wish him the best of luck as Caitlyn or whatever he wants to be called. And that's my scoop on him. And that's it.
And the immortal words of Jay Kerner: takes a real man to hide your dick.
Yes, it does. Oh, man.
Oh, beautiful.
So, Jay, welcome to the House of Armageddon. We love having you on, brother.
I love being on.
To talk about, and now that we have Jay on the phone, I think it's the perfect time to talk about it. A certain trailer was released this week, and the focus point of what said trailer, made by Walking Dead Films, was Mr. Brian Enright, and this film that's going to be coming out also has myself and Mr. Baron Krays in it. Who saw the Con of the Dead trailer?
I did. Oh, okay. It was great.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think that it's a lot of people, they were talking, you know, what's this Con of the Dead, or what are you guys doing, what's it about, this and that, and just to release the trailer, give people a taste of, you know, what's in store, you know, in the near future. And I think a lot of people had, you know, I think it's gotten a pretty good reception, man. I'm very happy with it, you know. And I got to hand it to Damien, our guy Damien, man. He is just an amazing guy. I would say his last name, but I'll fuck it up, so I'll just call him Damien K. And love the guy, and I think he's excellent, you know, and I'm fortunate to have him part of the team here at Walking Dead Films.
Well, you know, Baron had Damian Kulikowski and Ray Cannella on his show Friday night. Baron, you want to give us a little recap on that?
I didn't have him on the show. Did not call in.
I misread your text, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the show yet, so I must apologize.
No, but I did talk about the show, and I have been promoting the trailer, have we? And pretty much the feedback comes back with, okay, when's the actual film coming out? Everybody wants to see the film. And that's really been the big question that's been coming back. But, I saw the trailer. I loved it. It was really great. I'm not in the trailer. And I might not be in the final cut either.
No, I would assume you were in the final cut. I actually have not seen a final cut of the film. I've only seen the trailer myself. But I do have to say that we should thank the people that need to be thanked. Obviously, we shot by Damian Kulikowski and Ray Cannella of Screambox. And as far as seeing the film, I don't want to put too much out there. I would tell anyone that comes to Bizarre AC in October, probably a good opportunity to see it there, most likely, if not sooner or around the same time on the Screambox network itself.
Yeah. And I want to say, since we got Baron on the phone, Baron, how are you? I didn't know we had you on the phone, but I wanted to tell you, I did see your part in Cuddles, and you are cuddly. You did a great job, brother.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Now, I have to say, with all the stuff we do in, like, independent film locally, Brian, and then I'll go to Baron on this, have you noticed that your visibility's gone up now that you've had the ability of being, well, doing Cuddles yourself, but also being in Con of the Dead and involved working with us on the trailer for 100 Acres of Hell? Are you starting to feel like
yeah,
you kind of know who you are now, you know?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of people on Twitter have been following me. I've been getting a lot of friend requests from people in the industry that know everyone that requests me as a friend on Facebook has like 20 friends of me in common, and it's all you guys and everyone else in the fire convention circuit. So I mean, it's a pretty cool feeling. I mean, thanks for having me on board. I mean, I couldn't have done half of this shit or in fact all this shit without you guys. So I really appreciate it. That goes for Cuddles and Con of the Dead. And
let's face it, let's not let's call a spade what a spade, man. You're a smart, bright young man. You have a lot of talent. You would have done it with or without us, and we were just here for a little guidance, and you have a great future ahead of you, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Jason. I really appreciate it.
I just have to ask, have you gotten any strange fan mail from Europe yet?
No, not yet.
I guarantee
Bulgaria.
You I'm guaranteeing
I'm
you it's
for,
coming.
I'm waiting for someone in Germany to watch the Cuddles trailer and be like, oh, my God, or it's from Japan, because Troma, I guess, didn't like it, so that's fine. They make great movies. And,
Whoa. Troma didn't like Cuddles?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything back from them, and most likely I won't. That's fine. I mean, like, the copy I gave him was a little bright, and I think a lot of the background effects showed up, and the blood looked very CGI, and, like, more CGI than it does for some of the...
So what you're saying is that the version you sent them was better than the best film that they have out. Okay, I understand now.
I don't want to come down on Troma too much, but... I will say one thing about Troma, and I will happily defend this at any time. For a company that's always talking about support the independence, it seems more like support Troma.
Yes. I agree with you 100%.
Right.
Because
if anybody
everything...
thinks any different, I really, that's the way I feel. Well, I always feel, copy anyone you want on that comment, but I always see support indie cinema. Like, not for nothing, Ron. You guys are constantly promoting Troma shit on your page, and I haven't one time seen them promote anything of yours. One time.
Not once.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing, isn't it?
Oh. You know,
yeah.
But anyway, like I said, I'm not trying to create waves. I'm not trying to drive wedges. But, you know, not for nothing, there's an indie film community here in New Jersey. There's guys like ourselves. There's Ryan Scott Weber. There's all these different people. And I think you kind of have to equally share the responsibility of promoting the fact that we're all indie filmmakers. Worse than that, we're not only indie filmmakers, we're like no-budget filmmakers. And by the way, thank you for the whole no-budget king thing. I appreciate that, guys. But, but it's true, though. We're like no-budget filmmakers. We're making films for $10,000, $20,000, $15,000. In some cases, we're making films for, like, pizza and cigarettes, you know? I think people should be more engaged and promoting people that are looking to do that. We probably have 40 or 50 active filmmakers here in New Jersey area, and I think a company like Troma should be trying to develop that talent and promoting that talent. I mean, if I'm speaking out of line, you guys tell me, but that's the way I feel.
You know, Troma is – have you seen their new campaign, like Safe Nukem High? It's like, how long have they been in business, and why do they need money now? I just don't. I'm baffled by that. I don't understand. Well, after watching the first Nukem High, I can see why they really need money for a part two.
I'm not gonna lie though. I enjoyed Return to Nukem High. I really did. I enjoyed it. I think. Well, we met a lot of the actors and actresses up there, and you know what? Lloyd's a very nice guy. He did your radio show. He was very nice to us. He was great. I met him out at Bizarre AC and Chiller Theater and a bunch of other shows. And he's a great guy. I'm just saying, I want to see independent support all the way down the board for all the independent people. And I think Your Cuddles was a perfect example of the kind of project. First of all, it was short. It was only 10, 11 minutes long. And if you're doing something that's for independent filmmakers and you're really trying to promote what's pretty much the next generation of indie filmmakers, and then let's promote guys like you.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, but I do have to say, I do want to say the people from Trome have always been great. Every time I've met them, I've run into them. They've been great. Catherine, Asta, and Vito, and Clay, and all those people that we met at all the various cons and everything, and at Bizarre AC and all, were absolutely great. I don't mean to put anybody down, but I do think that, you know, if you want to be the king of independent film and cinema, support the people that also want to aspire to do the same thing.
We're all a bunch of smelly hipsters of the trust fund.
Oh, God, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he is right. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. With their fucking jeans that are so tight, I don't even know how they're even going to have kids. They must have to wear tighty whities because they can't wear boxers. And not only that, they wear these fucking stupid wannabe retro shirts that they buy at, like, Walmart and Target. Then they complain about fucking gigantic corporatism. And then they're going to wear these fucking glasses from the 1950s. Hey, listen, you're not McNamara. You're not as smart as he was, even though you probably thought he was a great guy, and I doubt they even know who the fuck he is, even though he was a scumbag. So I fucking hate them fucking people. They are morons. They are complete and utter morons. Okay? They will fucking go and eat a salad somewhere and then act like they're doing something. Little do they realize it's fucking thrown on a fucking GMO farm and then complain about GMO farming. Liberalism is a fucking mental disorder, and that is exactly what the fuck these guys are. I cannot damn these motherfuckers in their fake fucking, what are those fake Chuck Taylor shoes they wear. They don't even really wear the real Chuck Taylors. And by the way, my 90s generation brought that fucking back when we were out there skateboarding, setting the real motherfucking revolution over. So fuck them idiots.
All right, we really got away from the whole trauma thing. I think we're just talking to hipsters in general at this time. So
I don't give a fuck. Fuck them.
Well, I just want to make that point clear. Rude Ron, your tangent went in the wrong direction. But I know what you're talking about. You know, this whole hipster thing, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what it is.
I just gave you the entire rundown of it. So that's what that was.
Even explaining it, I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, I don't know. I don't understand how I keep hearing that the only people that can save local economies are hipsters. Like, in Atlantic, let's be truthful. We're from Atlantic City, and Atlantic City's not doing as well as it has done in the past. And a lot of the things that I hear, though, we have to get the young community here. We have to get the hipsters here. The hipsters are going to save everything. How? How are the hipsters going to save everything? I will admit that if you have a vibrant art scene in a town that has some kind of problems, there's no better security than having people actively shopping and engaging on a street corner, because it will deter crime, because crime likes to go to back alleys and where it's less prevalent. But I don't know if the hipsters are the answer to everything. I don't know if they spend money. Do they spend money?
Well, I mean, they're living in New York, and you know Louis Kaufman's not paying anyone who was in SAG-AFTRA, and they're being in the movie. I'm sorry, but if you're going to be doing a movie for free for about 6 months and you're not getting paid for it, there's no other explanation than they already have a huge bank account with their parents, and they're doing fine on their own because mommy and daddy are paying for their apartment and they're out living the dream.
You know, I've also heard a lot of people that do these independent films, you know, are willing to live on other people's couches or 10 people to an apartment. I can't just assume that everybody that does independent horror films for free has a trust fund family. I would think some of them are just really willing to dedicate their life. Because look how many people that want to be stars or dancers on Broadway. And they pretty much live in these shitty, shitty apartments, 20 people to a house, sharing one pizza, And I got to tell you, for art's sake, I respect people like that. So I don't really want to confuse those artists with the hipster scene or hipster movement or whatever it is, because I don't know that it's the same demographic. I just don't know that it is. It could be. I don't know. I just don't know enough about it. Just like I don't know anything about Caitlyn Jenner's balls. I don't know anything about what goes on in that fucking Kardashian household because I just don't watch the show. I guess I'm getting old because just a lot of stuff I don't know.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything about them fucking people. I don't even want to give them ratings. I don't want them even mentioned on our fucking show. I want them out of here. Get them out of here. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
No, but I hope everything goes well for a return to Nukem High Volume 2. I mean, I'm just kidding. I mean, the Troma's making good stuff for years, and they'll continue.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'd like to return to Nukem High. Dude, they've had some stinkers. Every film company's had some stinkers. There were a lot of movies that sounded really cool in theory, and when you watch them, they're not all that great. But I think that's for all film studios. I never got Surf Nazis Must Die. I never got, you know, the name sounded cool when I was a kid. I was like, Surf Nazis Must Die? I have to check this out. They did some other movies like, I don't know, Children at Play, and just these movies that had really cool cover art during the 80s and 90s that just I had to see. But even truthfully, like the Toxic Avenger series, after like the first and second one, I just didn't get it anymore.
Yeah.
But then again, I also got older, too. I think I saw the first couple when I was, like, 12. And let's be quite truthful. Watching The Toxic Avenger when you're 12 is, like, fucking awesome. It was naked girls, a dude getting run over.
Yeah!
Back over, making his head explode. I had never seen anything like this. And at 12 years old, I was pretty much just like, what the fuck just happened to me?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Interesting.
You know what happened? CGI is what happened. That's what
happened.
That's
exactly. There's that song, Video Killed the Radio Star. Thank you. You know, Video Killed the Radio Star. Well, you know what? CGI killed the movie star.
Yeah.
It really did. It really did. Very rarely do you have really good acting. And as far as I'm concerned, like, off movies have great acting. Like, did anybody ever see that movie The Switch with Ryan Reynolds and what's his name? There was some fucking Jason Bateman. There was really, really good acting in that movie. Good acting in that movie.
Do you know what's a good fucking movie? You mentioned Jason Bateman. I just saw this not too long ago, and I got to tell you, I have some newfound respect for his acting chops, man. I like Jason Bateman. He did this movie called Bad Language or Bad Mouth or something like that. And he was a guy doing a children's spelling bee. Bad Words is the name of the film, Bad Words. And one of the funniest fucking movies, dry sense of humor throughout the whole thing, and just he's vicious in the movie with what he says. Funny movie. If you guys haven't seen it, watch it. It's called Bad Words with Jason Bateman. I totally promote that movie. Hilarious.
Okay,
you know
I got to see
it. I don't know why. When I think of Jason Bateman, I think that I would like to see Jason Bateman and Charles Bronson fight to the death.
Well, Jason Bateman, you know what, not for nothing, even though Charles Bronson is dead right now, he would still kill Jason Bateman in a fight. But Jason Bateman, he, like I said, newfound respect for Jason Bateman, his acting chops. Watch Bad Words, and you'll get it. You'll understand what I'm saying. He was perfect.
I have nothing against Jason Bateman, except for the fact that he was in, like, Teen Wolf 2, which was, like, Teen Wolf T-O-O, which is, I thought was really ridiculous. Even at, like, 12 years old, I thought that was ridiculous.
It was good. I'm telling you.
We lost somebody. 609. We lost somebody.
Brian. Brian Enright.
I'm here. I'm
Baron.
Baron.
We lost Baron.
Ah, we lost Baron.
All right, Baron. We're thinking of you, brother.
Baron.
Calling in, and we'll
gone, to not, gone, but not forgotten, brother.
Yep, so everybody listen to Baron's Crip on Friday nights on the Horror Scene Radio Network and Shredding Metal Beast on Tuesdays. Tuesdays, I believe, at 10 o'clock. And thanks for calling in, brother. So here we are in the last, I don't know, 10 minutes of the show. We've covered everything from Caitlyn Jenner to the Point Break debacle to the possible Big Trouble in Little China debacle. And, you know, I think it's time for Ron to go through some local horror news. Ron, what do you got for us?
Well, the first one I want to plug is the Toxic Avenger musical.
Okay.
Now, Monday, June 8th. You guys, up in New York.
You guys.
You guys. I'm actually looking forward to this.
Don't make me kill Richie.
I don't know how we got back to the fucking Steven Seagal. But okay. Event is...
I'm going to kill Richie, Mom.
Is Monday, June the 8th at 54 Below in New York City. It's a reunion concert, and it is the Toxic Avenger musical. So give that a... Give that a look. Give it a shot. It looks really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it. So you may see me there handing out Bruce Jenner Wheaties boxes to remind you of who he used to be. But either way, I may be there. So if you want to see me or if you want to see Armageddon Ed, we might possibly show up.
I will not be
also,
handing out Bruce Jenner Wheaties boxes.
I don't think so either. I'll probably be pissing on them.
I'll be handing out Caitlyn Jenner selfie nudes.
Selfie nudes. That's quite awful. Oh, God. In July, it's going to be nice and hot out. Go to the Ghouls Night Out Fest, July 24th and 25th at the Stanhope House in Stanhope, New Jersey. Get your tickets at Ticketfly.com and have a good time with the Ghouls Night Out.
You know,
dress up as Dracula. I was Dracula like 7 years in a row when I was a kid for Halloween, and then I was like Jason for another 5.
The promoter of
that
show actually, it was 2 years ago they did the show in Jersey and actually offered tickets to Tony, Dave, and all the guys, and they wanted all of us to go up in force to that show, but of course we all had to work that weekend. But
of course.
I don't know. I would like to check out what they say is the world's greatest horror rock show. I mean, some of the acts that are going to be there look pretty awesome.
Yeah. It does look pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick. Did you hear that Tim Capello is going to be performing at Monster Mania?
Who is? Oh, wait. The guy from Lost Boys? The horn player from Lost Boys?
Yep, the sax player.
The guy they call Sexy Sax Man.
Yes. He's performing at Monster Mania. I say we all just get together and go to Monster Mania just for that event.
That would be pretty awesome.
And our best
is Corey Feldman going to be there?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Is he really going to be there?
Yeah, they're yeah.
Well, that's good then. Then we can actually talk to our old friend Kevin. I'm sure he'll show up.
we could all show up with our long wigs and our without shirts, and we could all like bring in like you know blow up saxophones and like try to jump up on stage with Tim Capella. One of us can dress up like Tina Turner because we did that song for Thunderdome.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Nor
I. I think I would know that. You know, the one thing we haven't talked about tonight, while you bring that up, is the new Mad Max. Has anybody seen it?
I saw it. It was incredible.
I heard it was absolutely outstanding.
Outstanding. It was absolutely incredible. Holy shit.
Yeah,
they really outdid themselves. We did a great job. Great cast.
Who
and
plays
had
the chick in it?
Charlize Theron plays the girl.
Oh, nice.
And
oh,
if you recall,
God.
You remember the first Mad Max with the first Mad Max that they ever made. Remember the guy with like that, with the main guy in that film?
The bad guy.
He's
like a cameo in this, right?
No. He plays the bad guy in this new one.
Really? With like Matt
not
Trump,
a cameo.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the boss. He plays, and it was
is
good.
Is it supposed to be the same guy, or is it just like
yep.
a...
supposed to be the same guy.
But at the end, wasn't that the guy who was supposed to cut his arm off at the end?
Cut his arm off.
Oh, no. It was the goofy guy. So it's the same guy from the original film as the guy from this one.
Yeah, the tall guy with the curly has the big hair.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought he killed him.
It was Toe Cutter.
Yeah, him.
Fortune Joe.
Yep, excellent movie, guys. If you haven't seen it,
I heard
watch
there was
it.
A lot of people uproaring about it because they said that that it was a feminist film. I don't know. I didn't see it, so I have no reason to support that claim. But like,
take my word for it. Support it. Very feminist. It was, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I'm open to it. There's chicks out there that can kick ass. And I would let Charlize Theron kick my ass all day long, all night long, two, three
they
weeks
did.
Straight if she needed to, until I was properly disciplined.
Really?
I know we talk about CGI, and it does, it has destroyed a lot in the entertainment industry. But for this film, I mean, if you guys saw the coming attractions, you have an idea that Charlize Theron in the film does not have an arm. It looks like she really doesn't have a fucking arm in this. And what they used in place of it, it was done really well. It was very entertaining. It was hardcore, really hardcore. And the guy who plays Beast in the new X-Men films, you know what I'm talking about? I can't think of his name now. He's the young actor. What's that?
Oh, no. I don't know. I could be mistaken. I thought Ray Park played Beast.
No, it's the guy, it's a kid who was in that zombie movie, Warm Bodies.
Okay.
And he was in this film, and he plays one of Toe Cutters, one of the main guys. You know, bad. You know, he's a bad guy, but he plays a sick, he plays it well. He does it well. They all did such a great job. Tom Hardy, excellent actor.
Yeah, you know, he is, dude, ever since I saw Bronson. Well, I was in a movie
oh,
with
yeah.
him. He's a good dude.
Warrior. That's right.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah. He was a real. As a matter of fact, I was actually like on a scene while he was there, and he's just really, really good dude.
Yeah, but the movie Warrior was terrible.
No,
it was
ass. The movie Warrior.
I really didn't like. I liked it, but I didn't really like it.
No,
it could have been better.
It wasn't the most truthful representation of what MMA is really about.
No, that's what that. None of them are.
Corners
none of them are.
And
none of
you know,
them are.
Backstage
it's,
at MMA
yeah.
events and you know.
So
it wasn't,
what Ron's
it wasn't a
saying?
Representation.
No, that's why I didn't like it.
What Ron's saying, the best part of that movie was 20 minutes to 25 minutes before it ended, and it lasted for about 4 seconds, and that's with you. I think that's what he's saying was the best part of the movie.
And thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the best part of the movie, was when he was walking in a boardwalk hall, and after that, we can turn the movie off.
With his head shaking.
The movie. But the truth is, I mean, it was kind of ridiculous. First of all, there's no way anybody's getting, especially since it was supposed to take place in New Jersey, there's no way that a guy would be able to get into an MMA event of that caliber through the boxing commission or the athletic control commission where they didn't know his real name, because you wouldn't believe the things that they make everyone be. I've been licensed with the boxing commission, and there's no way you're getting through there where he could have had an alternate name but hiding out from the Marine Corps. That just wouldn't happen. It could not happen, would not happen.
Well, spoiler alert.
Well, it's not too much of a spoiler. Once again, the movie.
No, I know. Well, to me, like I said, screw that movie. It was good, but it wasn't all that great. So I've seen better.
Nick Nolte was fucking awesome in it.
Nick Nolte. This was past. I don't know. Wasn't this after he was arrested with the fucking heroin hairdo? Right when he got pulled over.
He was awesome. I'm sorry. You know, Nick Nolte was phenomenal in that film.
Yeah. He reminds me of a more sane Gary Busey, doesn't he?
I like Gary Busey, but Nick Nolte and Gary Busey, although they have, I think, a physical similarity in the face, you really can't compare the two.
No, you can't, but Nick Nolte reminds me of a more sane Gary Busey. He just does.
Well, we're
That's
down
funny.
To the last 90 seconds of our show, gentlemen, so I think it's time to start doing some plugs.
Brian Enright, go first.
I want to thank the Walking Dead guys for supporting Cuddles and, you know, Con of the Dead. And I can't wait till I star in my feature debut. It looks really good, guys. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah,
oh,
great,
good.
Brother. Yeah, we love everything you're involved with, brother. We appreciate you supporting us, and we'll always support you, man. So thank you.
No
Jason
problem.
Jason Kerner.
Hey, I just want to say thanks to you guys. You know, the show is always great. Always look forward to calling in and talking with you guys. Just want to support Cuddles. Also, our upcoming film that we'll be shooting this year, which is 100 Acres of Hell. Very excited about that. Gene Snitsky. We have Ernie O'Donnell. You know, we have a great crew. We have Jay Lee from Zombie Strippers directed that. Patrick McGee, who did, you know, the Alien Predator movies, you know, Jurassic Park 3, special effects in that, X-Men movies, and so on. And,
10 seconds, so check us out online, www.walkingdeadfilms.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Jersey Horror Scene.
I'm going to kill Richie, Mom. I'm going to kill Richie.
Mom, you don't turn stuff. I'm going to kill Richie. All right, guys, that's show. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. We'll talk to you all soon.